Dear Lord, thank you for a reminder that we have come before a majesty, the highest majesty there is, the only one. Gracious and merciful enough to call us thy children if we would accept that invitation and join the family of believers. Lord, thank you for this day, for the beautiful message that we already received this morning, for the beautiful fellowship that we enjoy, basking in thy love, in thy grace, and the reminder of the sacrifice that was made. Lord, bless us this afternoon according to thy great mercy. May the speaker not be too much of a bottleneck from thy Holy Spirit to speak to every heart. Thank thee and praise thee in Jesus Christ. Amen. It was for this afternoon, I was led to read from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I'd like to read just verses 15, 16, and 17, but we may touch on the other verses. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. There were a couple of things that happened between me contemplating these verses during the last few days and today. And I was reminded of a hymn that says, "Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay." See, I was reading chapter 5 in Ephesians, and different thoughts came to my mind. And then we came to Bible class this morning, and the theme was on faith, Hebrews 11. And I should say that as I was reading Ephesians, the emphasis is on watchfulness. See that you walk circumspectly or carefully, as wise, not as fools, but as wise. So exhortation is, and redeeming the time as the days are evil. So I thought the topic could be about circumspection and watchfulness in our Christian life. And then we have the Bible class that talks about the faith. And the faith and trust, how do we reconcile those things? How much should we just leave everything to faith? And how much should we do our best to walk or to live circumspectly, carefully, and to redeem the time that we have? And I had a few thoughts about how the time is like that coupon that you redeem to get something of value back to you. And the first question that came to my mind is, what did you get for the time that you turn in the days that the Lord has given you? This last day, this last week, what did you get in return? Did you walk circumspectly? How did you and how did I redeem the time? And how should we coalesce, or how should we incorporate our efforts and our carefulness in our daily life, and the faith and the trust that we turn everything to the Lord and He's going to take care of us? Where does the faith lead us? Where does this faith stop, and where do we take over, or the other way around? Where do we try our best to be circumspect and careful and loving, and where the faith takes over? That's probably a better way to put it. And then the dear sister came to play a little bit before starting services, and she played Amazing Grace. We all know the words. But a few weeks ago, when I was in Zemun Church, that's where I was baptized, and we were married there and spent a... I was talking about this situation where our choir was allowed to go into Royal Palace and present a program. And, you know, Richard Janko called me before and asked, you know, do you like to sing one Serbian song? Which one do I suggest? And I suggested 74. But they ended up playing or singing Amazing Grace. Now, Amazing Grace has been translated by Brother Jarko Cikos, but it's not yet as a common and a well-known song as it is here. So I had to, at the same time, I had to say it in English in my mind and translate it in Serbian. But, you know, I thought, isn't that really the anthem of a Christian? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, where in one breath we recognize our wretchedness, how undeserving you and I were and maybe still are, and how amazing that grace is that saved a wretch, that saved undeserving wretch like me. And Brother Tom put a passionate plea for all to come to the altar, ultimate altar that Jesus Christ provided for us. I once was lost and now I'm found, was blind and now I see. I had to translate that quickly in Serbian so that they get the meaning. Why? And he says, it was grace that taught my heart to fear, and that same grace, that same fear relieved. I don't know where you stand this afternoon. Did that grace yet induce you to fear? Or have you already experienced that when you fear God, when you come to that altar and you pray, that fear gets released because you feel forgiveness and redemption from the Lord? So what I prepare in a way of a sermon, it got turned around by what we taught in the Bible class, what the sister played at the start of this service. And I'm probably too old to put this all together in a coherent manner, so you'll have to bear up with me. You know, Ephesians were written from Rome, I believe. And even though Apostle Paul spent a year or more in that city, unlike other epistles, he does not contain any personal greetings to any believers there. It does not deal with any issue in the church. It's sort of general in nature, in exhortation. So some believe that that may be that church to Laodicea, that circular letter that was sent not just to one church, but maybe a letter was written and then the top was left. Send it to La Puente, send it to Lawndale, to Vista. Because instruction is the same. And this fifth chapter begins by saying, "See, be ye therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice of God for a sweet-smelling savor." Exactly what Brother Tom spoke this morning. And he says, "Be ye therefore imitators, be ye therefore followers. Search and prove. Be like God, be like Jesus Christ, especially in love. Search what is pleasing, what is required of you and me as individuals to imitate those characteristics that God possesses, and he wants you and me as his children to possess and model and display. I'm jumping to verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. In other words, that watchfulness or that carefulness that we started reading in verse 15, that walk or our life, we have to make sure to prove that what we are doing is acceptable of the Lord. That is in agreement with God's will for your life and for your own well-being and mine. And before it says, let no man deceive you otherwise. For before you were partakers of that sin. Let no man deceive you that now that you have become a Christian, you can live as you please. And it's all covered by that grace and by mercy. Be and have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them. This is how God wants you and me to be circumspect and careful in our lives. Yes, ultimately, that does not mean that we trust in our own strength or our own wisdom or our own understanding. But as much as is given to us by knowing God's word, by reading it, by adapting it, we have a standard set for us, for our behavior. And we are responsible for what we know, what we understand, how we are instructed by God's word. One characteristic or one distinction between wise and fool is what? See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Our life, our walk, will make that distinction. I was thinking recently how in Proverbs 18:2 it says, "A fool takes no delight in learning, but likes to express his opinion." In other words, he demonstrates his lack of learning, his lack of understanding, by demonstrating his opinion, which is void of understanding. we hardly need to prove that the days are evil. It says redeeming the time for the days are evil. You and I are given so much time in this life. Since we departed on our trip, Sister Mina has gone to be with the Lord. Some of our relatives back in Novi Sad have gone to be with the Lord. We just don't know. Tomorrow is not promised to us. We just don't know how much time we have. When Apostle writes that we are to redeem this time, that we are to use this time for something that is a little bit of a higher value than what we normally would do, that we see a higher purpose in our lives. It may not be exactly the same thing for each and every one of us, but there is a common thing, and that is that we model ourselves, that we imitate or follow God and Jesus Christ and love as Christ, who loved for us and gave himself as an offering for us. Apostle Peter had the same idea when he said that we ought to guard against Satan. You know, there is a warfare going on that we sometimes forget is going on there if we become too comfortable or distracted with whatever things we happen to be busy with. And he gives that warning to guard against Satan. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Some of you may have been on a safari where lions are around, and as long as you're in a jeep, you're not on their menu, and you're relatively safe, even though there's no glass around you. Typically, they have a 2-3 level seat open Toyota Cruiser. And on the first night, I was a little late, and my wife was sitting all the way back on the top, and I was next to the driver, and there's no door, no light. I didn't feel very safe. I say, honey, you want to come down and sit next to the driver? The lions like tender meat. And they thought I was joking, but I was not. Point is, would you and me be casual walking in that jungle, walking in that wilderness, knowing that there are lions around? I guess not, right? But when we get busy in Los Angeles or wherever we are, we tend to forget that Satan is still here, still around, and his one ambition, one purpose is to devour if he could. Our ultimate protection is Jesus Christ, we know that, and the faith that he has given us. But we are told not to step out of that jeep and walk in the wilderness, because then we become a menu. The same epistle, Ephesians chapter 6, it says that we watch by praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's the best way to be watchful and to turn our concern to the Lord, to say, Lord, we are aware of some dangers. You know, when we fly, we think something may happen with the plane. When we are in uncharted territories, we don't even know what the dangers may be. But the Lord knows all our situations, and he is the sure source of that comfort. So if you and I want to be circumspect, if you want to be watchful, number one, tool is to be in prayer. And it says prayer always. For some reason, I thought of the term binge prayer. You know, binge is usually associated with alcoholism or this or that. And I think we all binge pray sometimes, you know, when circumstances in our life come that are so dire, you know, then we spend a lot more time in prayer than normal, you know. But it's also important that we have a steady, regular prayer hours, prayer time. And it says with supplication. In other words, you know, bring your petition before the Lord. Spell it out as much as you can. First time I was at Eastern Camp, I think my wife and oldest boy were in Europe. I forgot the name of that elder brother. He's no longer with us. I talked to him a little bit. Sometimes you don't exactly know how to spell it out, everything, or how to describe what is all burdening you. He said, you know what? You don't need to explain to the doctor everything. You know, you just give him the symptom. You know, he'll make the diagnosis. And that sort of stayed with me as a reminder. Yes, as much as we can enumerate things and make a supplication, but if not, you know, as the hymnal says, tears are a language God understands. Sight, He understands. He can figure it out. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with all thanksgiving. Uh-oh, did you see that end? Not just to bring the prayer. Remember thanksgiving part of it. We sometimes become overburdened with our problems. We'd like to unload it to the Lord and forget to thank Him for so many things that don't come to our mind at the moment. Continue in prayer, watch in prayer, and include a thanksgiving in that prayer. Because as we know, we could never thank Him enough for the grace that He has already extended to us and the grace that is still available today, if you will hear His voice. Harden not your heart. Ezekiel 33:7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and shall warn them from me. That talks about a watchman, and it's Ezekiel, it's Old Testament, but you know, in Christian sense it's the same thing. Christian watchman who first of all hears the word and is set, and we are all set to be watching one for another. I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word. You get instruction from the right place out of my mouth and warn them from me. I don't know how many, if any, of you, of us, were warned in any way today, but God's word was preached. We have heard what God's will is for our lives. Those of you that may not be converted yet, those of us who have been converted, who experienced God's grace and mercy, we have been instructed. It's up to us to apply that, to use that watchfulness, to that circumspection. So what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with that warning? What are we going to do with that instruction? You have a faith, I have a faith. What are we doing with it? There's a legend of one castle in Romania. It's between Timișoara and Sibiu, called Corvin Castle. There's a legend about a well. Evidently, the master of the castle had two slaves. I think they were apprehended by war, and they were supposed to be sentenced. They were sentenced to death, but he said, "Your lives will be spared if you would drill to find water." And there were two Turkish prisoners. They drilled, they chiseled that rock for 15 years, and at the depth of 28 meters, they found water. In the meanwhile, the master of the castle has died, and his wife decided she's not going to honor the promise that her husband made, that the prisoners will still be put to death. And then they said, as a last wish, can we put an inscription when this well was digged? And in Turkish, they added the date, and they added something extra. They say, "You may have water, but you have no soul," because she didn't honor the hospital. So we may have things in our disposal. What are we doing with it? Are we using it for the purpose for which it was given to us? Yes, the same word encourages us, calls us to repentance, calls us to rejoice in the Lord. At the same time, it calls us to work, to live carefully, circumspectly, to redeem the time in a most efficient and proficient manner that benefits our soul salvation and benefits body of believers as a whole. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Apostle Paul writes, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like man, be strong." Call for watchfulness is not meant to make us weak. It is encouraging us to stand against the enemy of our soul. It is encouraging us in that faith that we heard of so much in the Bible class. It's encouraging us in a walk with the Lord that we may rejoice at the day of redemption. May the Lord bless his word.